return to the record from a short break. We'll turn to the city now for cross redirect.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Ms. Emery. I'm going to bring up table five of, the appellant's exhibit three, table five on page 15 of that. I'll share that again. So you were asking questions about table five, and there were some percentages being thrown at you. Maybe you took them out of context. When you were identifying the potential impacts of the proposal, you were relying on the information from table five, correct? And so you understood then that in what table five is showing is that under the existing regulations, the best available data was identifying that there were about 17,700 trees that are currently exceptional, and that the increase of exceptional trees based on the change in the definition of exceptional tree would increase that count to 22,400 trees. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And whatever sort of percentage went along with that change, that was the change that you were using when you were coming up with your environmental checklist, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Towards the end of the direct from Mr. Griffin, you were asked about whether all the development, whether if the proposal didn't allow for any development, or actually you were asked about sort of speculating about sort of what could trigger a significant adverse environmental impact, and you had indicated at the deposition that perhaps one might come to that conclusion if all the lots affected would not be able to be built on. Is that sort of what I heard you say, or you sort of speculating about?
Yeah.
Then,
yes.
Do you think, though, that when looking at even if the number of lots that are identified is as 5% of 162,000, which, let me do a quick calculation, to do 162,000 times 5%. So that's about 8,100 lots. So is it possible that even if 8,100 lots out of 162,000 applicable lots weren't able to be built on, one might still conclude that that's still not, that's a minor and not a significant adverse environmental impact?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And was it the city's intention to essentially regulate the 12-inch to 24-inch trees in the same as the existing code when it comes to whether they could be removed during development?
Yeah, that's right. That's correct.
Okay, and so it wasn't SDCI's intention to regulate significant trees 12 to 24 inches more stringently than exceptional trees, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And I'm going to share sorry, I was on the right document. Let me share that again. Am I sharing the director's report?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to turn to page 13 of the director's report. Okay. And on page 13, there's a discussion about the new changes regarding significant trees, right? And you indicate what what is included in the definition of significant tree in this paragraph. And then in this paragraph titled "Significant Trees and Tree Replacement Requirements," what is the first sentence? How does that read?
So the secret draft would require that any significant tree 12 inches or greater in diameter removed as part of development would either be replaced on site or mitigated by a payment in lieu of replacement unless hazardous.
Okay, and so the proposal is intended, it recognizes that there will be removal of significant 12 inch trees.
That's correct.
As part of development.
Yes.
And then there's no discussion about that category of tree having to go through some process of applying development adjustments.
That's right.
Okay. And I'm going to bring up appellant's exhibit 4. The draft ordinance, can you see that?
Yes.
Okay. And I think that this might have already been indicated earlier, but just to be clear, the 2511060 is the section of code that establishes a process. Did you indicate earlier that that this section of code is limited to exceptional trees?
Yes, that's correct. It's for exceptional trees, 060.
Yes, and so for exceptional trees, it sets up a process where you have to get approval for the removal of an exceptional tree. You have to show that you couldn't. That basically the tree's too much in the way in the shorthand, even applying the development adjustments provided. Is that correct?
That's correct.
But there's nothing in that section that requires you to that would require the application of those development adjustments to a significant tree. Is that correct?
That's correct. So, yeah, 060 is for exceptional trees.
Let me share the CEPA checklist. Can you see that?
It's a little small.
Let me enlarge it. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
So, I think it indicated that there was no transportation analysis, but did you intend to mean that there was no additional transportation analysis beyond sort of the impacts that you described It's six, and that includes parking as well, I guess. It goes to the transportation.
Yes, that's correct. What I wrote here is what I was trying to say earlier is that this is the section that talks about transportation, you know, parking.
And so you, and so there was, you'd say then that there was an analysis, at least you identified the impacts here in the SEPA checklist, and then I'm sure we'll talk to Mr. Clowers about the analysis and his determination. But you did identify those.
Yes.
Okay. And did you base the information you were asked about the times of reviewing permits and the time difference between reviewing permits for streamlined design review versus administrative type 1 permits? Were you sort of basing that on the knowledge that you have of working in the department and
that's just general knowledge. Yeah, it's just general knowledge.
Okay. And then I think you were asked about the difference in sort of the ways in which an application would be reviewed and. Maybe we can walk through the different ways in which a permit application involving a regulated tree under the proposed ordinance could come in, right? So if someone has a six inch to up to 24 inch tree, on the development site, currently they're required to identify that on a site plan. Is that correct?
That's correct.
But for that size, there's currently no requirement that the review of that permit would require there to be any sort of utilizing development adjustments to that permit application. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Right.
So would you say that the types of permit applications that could come in would you agree that, you know, one type would be, a permit application would involve, it would identify an exceptional tree on the development permit application and then identify the preservation of that exceptional tree and any sort of analysis that would go into that. And then there's another type of permit application, which would be if it included an exceptional tree, and that application is proposing to remove the exceptional tree. As well as sort of the application of those adjustments that we've been talking about in 060. So but then there's another category, right, of permit applications that would be submitted that identifies basically six inch trees up to 24 inch trees, and that those trees would be identified.
I'm going to object. Mr. Mitchell is just testifying. He's not asking his witness questions.
So I'm sorry. So would that be a new category?
I didn't hear a ruling, and I wasn't sure if I was having issues with my sound or maybe.
No, I think Mr. Mitchell was withdrawing the question. I will remind the parties that this is cross and redirect, and on cross, it's not as big an issue on leading.
So is that another category then of sort of the type of a permit review that would come in then would be if an application sort of identified a 6-inch up to 24-inch tree, then it would be, let me actually pull up the director's report. To Appellant's Exhibit 3, the table on page 15. The line item at the bottom, regulating trees 12 inches and larger, plus exceptional trees, I think we've already determined that there's 2,300 permit applications, but then you have to subtract the 740 figure to come to the amount of permit applications that would be just for the 12-inch to 24-inch category.
Right.
And so for that, I think what I'm hearing you saying is that the permits in that category would come in and they would have to identify any 6-inch to up to 24-inch trees, but there would not be a review applying sort of development adjustments under 2511060. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. I don't think I have anything further. Thank you.
Okay. Fine. We'll wrap up with Mr. Gribben. Cross, redirect, please.
Do I get to ask questions?
This was not a witness you had on direct on your witness list. So
I'm doing cross on Mr. Gribben.
You're right. Yes. Thank you for the reminder, Ms.
Okay.
Newman.
So I won't take long.
That's fine. I get lost in my own process. You do what you need to do.
Yeah. I hear you. Okay. Thank you. Emery, you developed a proposal that's subject to CEPA review, right? Is that my understanding?
Yes.
And so you're essentially the applicant here, is that right?
Yes.
And the intention of the proposal, as far as you are concerned, is to allow significant trees to be removed, right?
That's correct.
And if the draft ordinance is not a picture of clarity on that intention, it can be changed still?
Yes, this is a CEPA draft.
Okay. And then another question is, looking at that analysis in Table 5, the total number of lots that are affected by this ordinance, that are new lots affected, I'm just going to throw out this number, is 17,820 lots. Does that number sound familiar to you, or it's not on there, but it's basically 8%. Well, what I did is I took, there's 162 lots that are applicable, that we're starting with, right?
Yes, that's the footnote.
Right.
Yes.
Ms. Newman?
Just trying to go quickly. I can pull it up.
I was going to say, can you throw it up? It might make it a little easier to follow.
I'm trying to save time. But
just for the witness, and I appreciate that. I can see Ms. Emery's thought process might get speeded up if she can be prompted by a visual.
Okay, I agree. Okay, I got it here. I took 60, so we have 162,000 applicable lots, and then I took 16% of that, and I came up with 17,820 lots. I'm just going to ask you to trust me on that number for now.
Okay.
Might be, I'm hoping I did that correctly, but the main gist of my point is not on the numbers exactly. So no matter what, let's say that this ordinance prohibited development on every single one of those 17,820 lots outright, which it doesn't, but let's just speculate.
Sure.
So if you subtract 17,820 lots from 162,000, you still have 144,180 lots that can be developed. The tree protection ordinance doesn't affect them, correct?
Correct.
So the development of those 144,180 lots will contribute to the future housing stock in the city of Seattle?
Correct.
And so is it fair to say that your answer before, when you were talking about if it outright prohibited, was not considering the fact that there's still these 144,180 lots out there that can still be developed?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And would that change your assessment on the significance of the impact to housing stock?
No.
Oh, no, what I mean is, when you said it might have an adverse, significant adverse impact if this tree protection ordinance prohibited every single development on every single one of those 17,000 lots.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
Is that your answer?
Yeah, if it prohibited, that would be...
But you still are allowing 144,000 lots to be developed.
That's correct, yeah. So
in that context, does that change your assessment? Or is this confusing?
I'm having a hard time.
Thoroughly confused. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Never mind. I don't need any more
questions. It's the end of the day for me.
Okay. I have no more questions. It's been a long day, and I can ask these questions of Mr. Flowers.
Thank you.
When we talk with him.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Newman.
No more questions.
We'll go to you, Mr. Gribben, for a wrap-up.
I'll keep it very brief. Ms. Newman, what is the estimated...
Summary. I'm Ms. Newman.
I was looking, yeah.
Nice try, Mr. Griffin.
I'll answer your question exactly, though.
I'll keep this brief, Ms. Amirando. It's been a long day, and I appreciate your time today. What is the current review time at SDR... that is subject to SDR just because of a exceptional tree, do you know?
I don't know.
Okay. And did you ever determine what the estimated time would be for a tree review under this new ordinance?
I don't know.
And there's been some discussions on whether or not a significant tree can be removed under the current ordinance, or excuse me, the new ordinance, if it can, what that procedure is. Assuming for the sake of argument that what you've described is correct, a property owner or developer is still required to either replace that tree or pay a fee, correct?
Can you go back and put it in, what category of tree are you talking about? I'm not entirely following, honestly.
So there's been some discussions about whether or not a significant tree 12 inches or greater can be removed under the new ordinance and under what circumstances that can happen. Assuming what you've testified to is correct, if a significant tree is removed, it still either needs to be replaced or a fee in lieu needs to be paid, correct?
So for significant trees, 12 inches to 24 inches that are non-exceptional, during development, the existing code says that trees may be removed during development. No replacement is required. And so the CEPA draft during development is the same as existing. Trees may be removed during development. And then the code requires trees starting at 12-inch threshold to either be replaced or you can elect to make a payment in lieu.
Okay, so what I said, it sounds like you're agreeing with, and if that significant tree is maintained, a covenant needs to be placed on the property, correct?
So there's no change in the ability to remove, like, the, you know, during development or significant trees, 12 to 24 inches. And then the draft code requires a significant tree is 12 to 24 inches to be protected by a covenant during development, but not outside development. If I'm still, I'm not sure I'm falling.
Okay, just back up. You talked about the current ordinance and the new ordinance. And under the current ordinance, you can remove a non-exceptional tree, and you are not required to replace it, correct?
Yeah, there's no replacement requirements for significant trees 12 to 24 inches during development under the existing code.
And there's no requirement to make any payment if you don't replace it, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And under the proposed ordinance, there is a new requirement to, again, assuming what you've testified to is correct about the ordinance, to either to remove it, and if it's removed, you have to either replace it or pay a fee. And those are new requirements, correct?
So it's the same as existing. You know, trees may be removed during development under the CFA draft. And so we're regulating more trees, but there's no change in the ability to remove them. And then at the 12-inch threshold, that's when you would have the payment in lieu option.
And that is a change, correct? That is a new regulation imposed by this new ordinance?
Right.
Well, thank you, Ms. Emery. I appreciate the time. No further questions.
Thank you, Ms. Emery.
Thank you.
Mr. Mitchell, can you tell me about the remaining witnesses you have and how we're planning to approach those?
Yes, Your Honor. I was not anticipating to be this far into the day. I do have four more witnesses. Two of the next two witnesses are Charles Spear and Christina Thomas, who will talk about their the work that they did in preparing the methodology to determine the effect of development sites we've been talking about. And then I have Deborah McGarry, who is an arborist and a senior environmental analyst with the Seattle Department of Construction and Inspections, who was going to talk about mainly about sort of the how her process in currently reviewing exceptional tree permit applications, and then Gordon Clowers, who is the CEPA responsible official, to talk about his determination of non-significance. I may decide not to. I may change that order. I described them in the order that I plan to call them, but depending on where we're at, if I was wanting to try to get, I think it'll be in that order. I guess we'll just see sort of where we go in the next 2 hours.
Okay. Ms. Newman, can you remind me how many witnesses you have in addition to those?
I have three total, but I have to regroup tomorrow and decide if I'm going to present all three, and the extent that I would be presenting them, I just don't expect it would take that long.
Okay. And we talked with Mr. Gribben about what he needs. Let's see how we get through today then. Fortunately, our hearing schedule is pretty open. I would like to have a sense by the end of the day, though, where we're at, if we need to add additional time for hearing. So if you plan on seeking rebuttal, et cetera, I'd like some answer on that by the end of the day. We will take a break now and return at 3:30. That'll give us another hour and a half of testimony to get through. So however you wish to use that, Mr. Mitchell, will be yours.
Thank you.
Recording stopped.